You're listening to Trek FM.
This episode of To The Journey is brought to you by Audible.com. Offering more than 150,000 titles for your tablet, smartphone, and desktop. Support the show and get a free audiobook of your choice by visiting audibletrial.com/trekfm.
Hi, this is Garrett Wong. I played Ensign Harry Kim on Voyager, and you're listening to Trek FM.
Welcome. This is another episode of To The Journey.
To the journey!
I'm one of your co-hosts, Charlene Schmidt, and with me is my other co-host,
Tristan Riddell.
And we have a little bit of sad news, unfortunately, to kick off this week's TTJ, but I thought it was worth mentioning. One of our listeners, Roland Steger, let me know, and as did StarTrek.com, that a guest star who appeared on Voyager recently passed, and his name was Olaf Pooley. He was 101. He had a very good long life. If you don't know who he is, he guest starred in Blink of an Eye as the cleric. And the episode was directed by his then wife, Gabrielle Beaumont.
Oh, very cool.
And I did not know that little factoid. And when I stumbled upon that, I thought, ooh, we should really mention this at the top of the show. So, very interesting guy. It sounds like he had a very productive career in his very long 101 years of life. had a very good career and was very popular in Europe. Not so much here, but even so, since he was a part of Voyager, I thought it was worth mentioning. Now, on to happier things. I am super stoked about this week's topic because it is your favorite relationship or couple. And that, of course, would be Tom and B'Elanna.
Tom Paris and B'Elanna Torres. Yes, I'm a big fan of this relationship. I'm a big fan of those two characters. I think B'Elanna is definitely my favorite female character on the show, and Tom is my favorite male character on the show. And the day that they got together, and when I saw a budding romance throughout the years, I was just like, this is going to be good. And you know what? It was. It was a fantastic, well thought out relationship, very believable, very real, great moments. And out of every relationship on TV, there's a few superficial moments and a few things that kind of stretch the imagination. But I feel like there was the least amount in these, as opposed to other ones that we have seen in Star Trek and on TV. And it felt like a real relationship to me.
Yeah. Especially among Trek relationships, and I hate to put it this way, but they were among one of the most realistic couples Star Trek ever had. Because they had real problems, and they actually dealt with them, and it wasn't Pollyanna-ish. It's not like they got together and they lived happily ever after. Far from it. These were humanoid-ish people, just trying to make their way and do the best that they can, but along the way, there's a lot of stumbles in just even that pursuit alone, and it was great watching these two get together just because, well, they were great for one another. And I think we'll speak a lot more about that as we go on. We're going to talk about our top five moments. And I've been dying all week to know what yours are just because you are such a big Tom and B'Elanna fan. I love so many little moments about Tom and B'Elanna, but I want to know from your perspective what they are just to see if I'm thinking the same things you are. Sometimes we duplicate, sometimes we don't. So why don't you kick us off? Let us know.
I think that you and I are going to have very many duplicates, but I could riff on their relationship for hours, and I could just keep going and going and going on like my favorite moments. And then as I list my favorite moments, and I'm like, oh, that's pretty much every relationship moment that Tom and B'Elanna had. But the first one right off the bat would probably be, I mean, scientific method. There's no better place to start with Tom and B'Elanna than in the episode Scientific Method. And there's two moments, I'm cheating a little bit, and there's two moments in there that I like specifically, and that is the first time that we see them is when he materializes, like Tom does a site-to-site transport to B'Elanna's location in a Jeffries tube, and we see his arm materialize, and he has flowers in his hand. And then they proceed to make out, and we see them getting scanned, and we see like thermal images of them, you know, like these two skeletons making out, and it's really creepy.
Right. These tongues intertwining.
Yeah, these tongues intertwining, and thus is the basis of the episode.
That's what I always noticed.
And I just love that because it was kind of out of the blue, and it like we realized that Tom was up to something, but we're just like, oh wow, you know, we see them actually get together, and we're like, you know what, that works, that makes sense. Out of every male and female pairing on the ship, that I feel makes the most sense, that pairing. And then of course later on at the end of the episode when they address mm-hmm. their feelings for each other, I think that one's much more powerful than the opening. But it's just
yes.
you know, they start to say, you know, did we just feel this way because these aliens were tampering with our hormones and, you know, doing tests on us? Is that the only thing that's there? And I think they both realized that all that did was just open the door to the possibilities. You know, like it's
right.
let the feelings out for some fresh air. It's kind of like an insurrection when at the end of Insurrection, you know, Riker's talking to Worf like, you know, is it just because we're around these neutron beams or whatever because of the rings, you know, like it made us feel young again? And Worf said, he's like, those feelings have always been there. It just lit them out for some fresh air. And I feel like that's what happened in Scientific Method.
I totally agree. Tom and B'Elanna were already on their way in terms of their relationship, but if this mm-hmm. kept things going at maybe a little more brisk of a pace, so be it. Because
yeah,
before that episode, in Day of Honor, B'Elanna confesses her feelings to Tom, which right. is actually my number 5 pick. So I'll just throw that out right now. And they're in spacesuits, and very likely they think they're going to die. They're going to run out of oxygen. And, you know, when you're not sure if you're going to keep going or not, you have that last chance to say anything that's left on your mind. And so she goes for it. And mm-hmm. then Scientific Method happens. And you're right, that conversation at the end really is important because they need to address this. Like, okay, all of a sudden, she, out of the blue, she says, I love you. And so does Tom take this seriously? Did she really mean it? Or was it just in the heat of the moment? And then, of course, in Scientific Method, they're very busy making out and enjoying themselves and not sure if it was just the aliens or if there's a little more to it. And they very quickly come to the conclusion that, yeah, there is a little more to it and they're enjoying themselves and they're going to keep right on going. Maybe with a little more self-control, though, at Janeway's yeah. insistence. One thing I love about that first scene you talked about, though, that's romance in the 24th century. You beam in with a bouquet of flowers.
Yeah, if oh my goodness, like if I mean that's pretty much every guy's dream is that they can just like pop up and appear and just like in a swirl of blue light with some flowers and say, hey, they're beautiful. These are for you.
Yeah,
I mean, got these in the Andromeda Galaxy just for you.
Right. I can't speak for every lady in the universe, but I know that that would make my heart melt if it were the right guy. Totally. It would work on me. Mm-hmm.
I think we can definitely speak, like, in the realms of geekdom, I think that's a geek's dream. Whether you're giving the flowers or receiving the flowers, that's a geek dream right there.
I have to agree. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we went over my first pick, and yeah, like you said earlier, no particular order. I don't have any priority on these whatsoever. Why don't you give us your next pick?
Before we go into that, I do want to assert how great that pick was that you just made.
Oh, well, thank you.
About them confessing their feelings for them. That was on my list of like 15, you know, like that I had to, I was like, no,
okay.
Tristan, you could only have 5.
I'm glad,
you
know, it wasn't just me because I thought of all sorts of little moments and I thought, well, what is the most important to their relationship? And that is a big moment. That's not my favorite moment of theirs. I'm kind of going against our methodology for these. And yet it is so important that I feel like I had to put it in because it's so instrumental to moving things forward.
Well, I just love I love how audacious it is because it is so utterly Star Trek where they're in spacesuits, okay? They're in
yeah.
their spacesuits and
right,
they're confessing their feelings for each other. And it's just like, if you took away the spacesuits and it would just be two people having a conversation, but no, Star Trek has to up the ante and they're like, no, they think they're going to die. They're abandoned in space.
Right. And there's a warp core floating around.
There's a warp core floating around somewhere, and it's just, and also one thing that I always take away from that is just like they need to be close to each other and they need to be near each other. And also that shot of Voyager in, I can't remember whose helmet it was, whether it was Tom or B'Elanna's, but you saw Voyager coming in the reflection of their helmet of the glass.
Yeah.
And I thought that was such a great shot.
It totally was. That was a fantastic special effects job.
Yeah. All right. But as you said, like, we're going on to my next one. My next one is, like, you know, like, scientific method and Day of Honor and everything like that was all about feelings and romance and everything like that. But I'm going into the opposite direction and going with pure passion. And that is them almost doing it in Blood Fever.
How can this not make the list, right? This is our first duplicate. This is number 5 on my list, even though it's no particular order. I thought, Well, yeah, it's a given. Maybe I should think of something else, but nah. Come on.
You gotta put Blood Fever in, because this was before everything. You know, this was before they confessed their feelings for each other. This was before they even had a hint of romantic feelings for each other. It was pretty much just, you know, like, there was an attraction, and B'Elanna knew there was an attraction, and Tom, of course, knew he was attracted to her. He was hoping that it was going both ways, and I thought this was great because this could have been easy, you know, like, this could have been easy to do where, like, I feel like today, if you took the sci-fi element out of it, you know, B'Elanna was just going through, like, a bad breakup or something and just needed to be with someone, you know?
Tom would be the rebound.
Yeah, like, Tom would be a rebound. I feel like that's the situation would be if this was just a modern day telling, and Tom would be the good guy saying, hey, you're emotional right now. I don't want to take advantage of you. But in a sci-fi setting, you know, she had this weird Vulcan disease, you know, like, not so much disease, but you know what I'm saying? This weird Vulcan condition where Ponfar is passed on to her, and he wants this to happen. This man has the self-control of a saint.
Because he really does.
He is very much attracted to B'Elanna. B'Elanna is a hot Klingon human hybrid, and he is a young man in his prime, and he wants this to happen. He wants to get with her, but he doesn't want it like that because he's a good guy. He doesn't want to just have a pleasurable moment with her. He wants to have something with her, and he wants the first time to mean something. And even though she's literally begging for it,
for real,
screaming for it, for real, begging for it.
Yeah, like stripping off her clothes, hot and sweaty, kind of begging for it.
Yeah, and he's able to say no. So, like, you get to see, like, B'Elanna all hot and bothered, and then you get to see Tom be the good guy. And then, you know, like, what you get, like, he says no, but then, you know, like, they release him from his good guy status, like, later on in the episode where, you know, both Tuvok and Chakotay are like, sorry, dude, you gotta take one for the team. And he's like, oh, yeah, shucks, like, okay.
You gotta do her or she'll die, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta love sci-fi for that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, going back to, like, geek dreams and, like, geek fantasies and everything like that.
It's right?
Like, well, you telling me that I need to make love to this alien woman or she's gonna die? Well, for king and country, you know what I'm saying?
Right, only on Star Trek.
Only on Star Trek, but then, you know, like, they interrupt it, but it was just, and also before it happened, it was funny. Not only was it interesting to see these two characters almost get together, but they made it funny because he's kissing her, and she's like, what are you doing? And he's like, I'm enjoying myself.
Right, I love the way he delivers that. I think I am.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Should I be doing something else? And she throws him to the ground.
What this did from a story perspective is, you know, it was a great sci-fi story. It was funny, and it was also interesting. It showed these two characters, but it also let us know there's a possibility down the line. There's an opening that could develop into something.
Yeah. Well, you know what I like about Blood Fever is you get a really great tease of the passion between these two, and it's a very awkward circumstance. Nobody really wants to start a relationship like this, I think. It would be like going on a one-night stand and then having a marriage with that person later on, like, or at least being tied to them permanently. Like, maybe the woman gets pregnant and suddenly that's it. Okay, you're connected to this person for life or something like that. You'd have to live with this person for the rest of your life on this ship and deal with them somehow, and it's just not a comfortable situation at all. Yet Tom has the restraint of a saint. And I put this on my list because of the final scene in the turbo lift. Because, I mean, so much is going on here, actually. But to focus on the turbo lift scene, Tom is like, I saw your big, dirty, evil Klingon side. And you know what? It wasn't that bad, and I can handle it. And, you know, I'm game for more. And then B'Elanna walks out with that, careful what you wish for, Tommy boy. And it's just, that is that door opening that you talked about. And it's so incredibly good because you could write this episode off as really juvenile and, oh gosh, Star Trek is, you know, doing its sex episode again. Oh boy.
Yeah.
But no, this is actually really important to their relationship in terms of moving things forward and keeping things real despite the strange circumstance.
Yeah, and I think I'm glad that you brought that up because Star Trek has never really done sex well.
Not usually. Yeah.
Yeah, like in Next Generation, I can't think of really in any kind of episodes where sex was done appropriately, where it was either, you know, like you could understand the passion or you could understand the relationship. Like it just didn't really come across that great. And in Deep Space Nine, they did a little bit better. They did a little, but it was kind of wooden, kind of boring. But with Blood Fever, it was. Yeah, I mean, even then, you know, I don't know.
It had its
moments. People like that more than I do. It had its moments, yeah. But with Blood Fever, it was a nice sci-fi story where these two people were thrust into the situation, but yet it opened up the door to something more. And so I like that continuity, and I like that cause and effect and repercussions of these actions. And I like that you brought it up where it's like, oh, you know, like this could have been a one night stand situation where it would have been awkward around people. It kind of makes me think of the Trill episode on Next Generation when Riker had symbiote,
yes,
for a little bit. And then Beverly slept with Riker's body. How awkward,
yeah,
was that? They should have addressed that. They should have done something later on in the show when it's like, oh, hey, Beverly, remember that time when you totally ravaged me, but it wasn't really me?
Yeah, they really should have, but I think that is the difference between TNG and later series. They just, no, they were not going to go there. And it's really unfortunate because how awkward would that be? I mean, maybe Riker is sitting in the conference room. They're getting ready for a staff meeting and Beverly walks in next. Nobody else is in the room. And it's like, oh,
right.
Hey,
that would have been perfect.
Just like, yeah. I would not want to be in either of their shoes at that particular juncture because that conversation needed to be had and it never did and never will. And it's very unfortunate.
I'm so glad you came up with that idea because that like in my mind, that totally happened where like Riker and Beverly are early in a staff meeting. Beverly like or maybe like it's at the beginning of the episode and we just see them. It's the week after. OK, so it's the episode after that Trill episode. They see each other just kind of like at the beginning of the episode, they see each other in the halls and they're just like, oh, hey, Beverly, hey,
right.
Will. And then
or,
they walk in opposite directions.
Awkward turbo lift. That's what Tom and B'Elanna did. You could put Beverly Crusher and Will Riker in there and they've got to endure 30 seconds of pure hell together.
Yeah. And Troy's just like, what the heck was that about?
Yeah. Troy's there with to go into the turbo lift after then the doors open. And
or even better than yet, you know, like Data or something.
Oh boy.
Where you can't even sense the awkwardness. But then like we have that conference room thing that you're talking about where they both walk in there early and Beverly is probably the mature one where she's like, listen, let's talk about this. This happened.
Yeah, you're right.
You know,
it would be
we're
Beverly.
Still friends. We got to work together. And Will's like, okay, you're right. You know, like I can get through this if you can get through this, you know, that kind of thing. Like, I think that would have been great. That would have been absolutely great. That would have been a perfect B plot.
Right. Yeah. And they didn't even do the Tasha Yar thing of just where one of them goes up to the other and whispers in the other person's ear. It never happened.
Yeah. Like it never happened. Okay. You know, like, yeah.
Like as far as I'm concerned, erased, brain bleach.
Yeah.
No, they couldn't even do that. That was a really dirty old shame. But going back to Voyager, one thing I want to add about Blood Fever before we move on is... You mentioned Tom Paris having the restraint of a saint because he does. Mm-hmm. This shows Tom's growth so much and how much he really does care about B'Elanna. And that's what makes this episode work, I think. Because if you think season one, Tom would have totally had a night of incredible pleasure and passion, enjoyed himself thoroughly and not thought anything of it and did not care, would not care about the consequences.
Yeah, your opinion of season one Tom is very different than mine. Like in your mind, season one Tom is a deviant and is a horrible person. And in mine, I'm just like, he's just a little troubled.
Well, here's the thing: is I think he would have no problem having a good time with a lady and thinking nothing of it and moving on. Not in season one. Now by season three, He wants B'Elanna, and that is what he's going for, and he's going to do it right. It's not that he doesn't know how to do things right in season one. It's just he chooses not to.
There is a big difference between season one Tom and season three Tom.
That's what I'm illustrating. So anyway, there's my piece on Blood Fever. And since that is a duplicate pick, it's back to you.
Okay. Well, since it's back to me, this is not exactly like an important moment in the relationship, but since this is not the important top five important moments, this is their top five favorite moments, I'm going to go to the episode Memorial and the scene where B'Elanna gives Tom the TV.
Oh my gosh, another duplicate.
Yeah, I absolutely love this moment. This is such a great moment because it shows that B'Elanna missed him, that B'Elanna cares about him and loves him, and just it knows exactly what to get him. I mean, this is the perfect gift for Tom.
It is.
You know, like they replicate some beers, they have some popcorn, and they just watch this old TV. And she said that she programmed it so that when you go through the channels, it pauses the TV so that you get to watch the commercials. Like only in the 24th century, when you could see commercials as a novelty, would you want to keep the commercials?
Yeah. Because you want it to be an authentic experience, right? And we would be just like, oh, yeah. No.
I'm pretty sure that I've told this moment before, but I remember when this was first aired, I was watching it with my parents, and my mom's like, something's going on. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, something's weird. Something's going on with B'Elanna. Why is she being so nice? She's not normally this nice.
That's funny.
She seriously thought like she was taken over by an alien or something, or yeah.
She cannot own it up or just chalk it up to the fact that B'Elanna at this point was getting a little softer as a result of being in a relationship.
Mm-hmm. It happens to us all.
Oh, that's funny. I don't know. I had no problem with that, actually. Like, Tom did tone her down a little bit, smoothed out some of those rough edges just a teeny bit. Stability is good mm-hmm. for B'Elanna. It really is in so many ways, like becoming chief engineer. Because if you could imagine if she hadn't been chief engineer, she and Seska, the shenanigans those two would have had. I mean, I'm thinking just in terms of responsibility, let's say in a state of flux with the time technology, mm-hmm. B'Elanna totally would have been in on that if she had not been chief engineer.
Yeah, and we've discussed that before, and you brought that point up when we were talking about it, mm-hmm. I think that's a solid point. And think about it, it's just like in real life. I mean, like if you give somebody responsibility, they'll either walk away from it, or mm-hmm. they'll embrace it. And B'Elanna embraced it, and she really like and she had responsibility in her professional life, and then she got responsibility in her personal life. She had a real relationship with Tom, and Tom expected certain things, and she expected certain things from Tom, and so they melded together and created a good coupling, a good pairing. And you know, like he didn't let her get away with her crap, and same with him. I mean, same right. with her, and she helped him realize that he was worth something more. And he helped her realize that she was not alone.
Yeah. And she was not a bad person, too. I would add right. that as well. You know, her Klingon half, not that bad.
Yeah. It was a nice, cute moment that we don't get that much in Star Trek. And so I think that's why I chose it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I put it on there, too. It's just it's a small moment. It's not a important thing necessarily, although it is very cute. And it's not even a huge thing in the episode itself, but that visual, you know, B'Elanna's mm-hmm. kind of like asleep and Tom is enjoying himself watching cartoons and eating popcorn. And there's this classic looking TV set. It's just a great visual. I just adore it. I mean, like if there's a visual for their relationship, it's that right there.
Yeah. All right. Well, since that was another duplicate, I guess it's up to me to give it again.
It is. Keep going.
I love the passion from Tom and B'Elanna. I love the romance. I love the cute moments. But with every relationship, there are some rougher times. There's some times when you need to hash things out. There's mm-hmm. some times when you need to scream at each other. There's some times when you need to say, hey, you hurt me, and you need to realize that you hurt me.
Yes.
And one happens. Of those moments is in Vis-a-Vis.
Okay. Not a duplicate.
Not a duplicate. Fantastic.
Hooray.
It's the end
All
of
right.
Vis-a-Vis when he's working on his Camaro.
The Camaro.
The Camaro. I love how she said that. She's like she's like a Ford Camaro. And I just love the setting of it because, you know, Tom is such a gearhead. He's a pilot. And so, of course, you know, he loved things mechanical. And You know, he loves the 20th century because the producers want him to.
he wants to do Top Gear in the 24th century. That would be Tom Paris.
Yeah. And, you know, like what happened was, is like this episode, I mean, even though it had shown through a sci-fi lens, this is a real relationship episode. This is real relationship moments where he gets wrapped up in a project and it involves somebody else. And he's spending way too much time away from B'Elanna, where she has needs. She wants to spend time with her man, and she wants to have a good relationship, and she's being neglected. And he admitted it took him that long to admit it. And she came into his element when he was working on the car, and he says, this is a monument to all the time that I should have been spending with you and not tinkering around with that car. And mm-hmm. it meant a lot to her that he recognized that. Cause that's a lot of times in relationships, that's what all people want. All people need is just recognition that their feelings are valid. And sometimes the apology is completely secondary. It's like, listen, I don't need you to apologize. I just need you to recognize that what I'm feeling is real and valid because I'm feeling it.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so glad you picked this episode because it's not a downer by any means, but it mm-hmm. is a little bit of a stumble that I think every relationship has at some point. It's important to nurture a relationship, and Tom completely neglects his relationship with B'Elanna while he is entrenched in this whole project. And so I kind of like the way that it wraps up where, yeah, this is the memorial to the time I should have been spending with you instead. He does his best to make it right. As much as he can at that point, and then move forward mm-hmm. from there. Like you know, you can't make everything bounce back 100%. You're not going to be happily ever after right away. It's just, okay, look, I'm really sorry. I screwed up. Can you forgive me eventually? And, you know, right. I'm sure there were many things that Tom did to be nice to her, to try and make up for it and show that he really does care. Like more flowers and I don't know, maybe some banana pancakes. Who knows?
Just time, you know, like just time. Just
time.
Sacrificing like your hobby time so that it doesn't get in the way of your relationship time.
Right. Yeah, there's two things that I think are really important to a relationship. One is time. The other is communication. If you've got neither of those things, you don't have a good relationship and it'll fall apart.
It's funny because Matt Hansen, we were talking about this on the Nerd Party about nerd obsession, you know, mm-hmm. and taking it potentially too far. Mm-hmm. And we are also talking about, like, you know, who are we to judge other people who, like if somebody's really into Dungeons and Dragons, you know, like, who are we to judge them for getting into Dungeons and Dragons when we're into Star Trek and other geek stuff and everything like that?
Sure.
Like what, you know, what's the level going back and forth? But the main reason why we brought it up is because as long as you're spending a healthy amount of time with it, then who are we to judge? Because that's the key thing, is a healthy amount of time. You need a healthy amount of time in your hobbies and a healthy amount of time with your relationship. So as long as your hobby is not cutting into your relationship time a great deal, then go for it. Who are we to judge?
Right. Yeah, there is such a thing as a healthy dose of something.
Right.
And yeah, I think that's a very easy, like blurred line to cross. It can be hard to know where that limit is, and sometimes you go too far and then have to kind of take a step back and realize it, or maybe somebody else points it out to you and it's like, oh, mm-hmm. okay, I really should maybe come back to my real life or something like that when it comes to a hobby.
Right.
And that sort of thing. Absolutely. So yeah, good point to make.
All right, well, since that wasn't a duplicate,
hallelujah,
then you get to go.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go on to a little more of the serious side of things. I like the range that we're covering, from the passion to the happy, mm-hmm. cute moments to a little more serious, where I love it when Tom proves to B'Elanna that he won't abandon her or their unborn child in lineage.
This is my final one.
Ah, dang, another duplicate. Okay, well, let's talk about it. This is yet another reminder of how far Tom Paris kind of comes in the series, from being kind of a footloose and fancy free, I don't care much about a whole lot of things kind of a guy, to a committed family man. This mm-hmm. episode, it shows B'Elanna in a very vulnerable spot. She's very unsure about everything, and Tom helps her through it. It shows what a wonderful pair they are and what a realistic couple they are, too. And just Trek does not do this often, so it's refreshing to see a married couple, and a married couple at that. How many people get married in Star Trek? Not many. They're tackling this struggle together and they're stronger for it. And I just love that as a married person. That is what you do in this, in that level of commitment.
I think out of the five series, we saw three actually happen. One almost happened in TOS, but then didn't quite make it because mm-hmm. they had a red alert. And then in TNG, you had Keiko and O'Brien.
Yeah, and that's a good couple too, sure.
And that's a good couple. And then in Deep Space Nine, you had Worf and Jadzia.
Right, I guess you
had Sisko and Cassidy as well.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Okay, so I forgot about that one. And then you had B'Elanna and Tom.
You had Trip and T'Pol, but that, you know, they gave each other massages and then had sex and then talked about their feelings for a whole season, which I thoroughly enjoyed. But yeah, marriage was not something that where they went.
Right.
Yeah, this... And Tom and B'Elanna, I think, are different because with Worf and Jadzia, Jadzia dies shortly into the relationship, mm-hmm. which we did see a version of, like in before and after, with in terms of Voyager stuff. I mean, B'Elanna dies. Could have seen where that went, but yeah. And then also with Sisko and Cassidy, Sisko goes off and joins the Prophets and leaves behind his family, an unborn child, no mm-hmm. less.
Yeah.
So this is also very different, and Tom shows what a solid guy he is, how committed he really is to B'Elanna and their future together. And he's so rock solid at this point. I just love it. He's reveling in his life. He knows he's got a good thing, and he'll be darned if he does anything to screw that up. He's just not going there.
Yeah. Yeah, I absolutely love this moment because of the growth, not only individually, but with each other. And
yeah.
I love this moment because we get it's almost voyeuristic because as a Star Trek viewer, we're seeing the inside of their marriage, the dirt, the nitty gritty of their marriage, where she tries to do something absolutely heinous and against the couple's wishes. Like she's doing something unilaterally that affects all three of them. And she violates the Doctor's program to do it. And
yeah, pretty extreme.
Tom it's incredibly extreme, and this is all continuity from her established daddy issues. Like she has huge father issues and abandonment.
Yeah, like this is how much they affect her that she's willing to go to this length to ensure that her daughter mm-hmm. doesn't endure the pain that she did growing up. You know, kind of like just in case.
Yeah, just in case, and. And then I love how Tom goes, Doctor, can you leave me alone a minute with my wife? And I can't remember if it's Doc or somebody else. I can't remember who leaves the room, but they leave Tom and B'Elanna to each other alone in the room. And you're just like, oh crap. This is about to get heavy.
Moment of truth.
They start screaming. Yeah, they start screaming at each other and crying with each other. And sometimes that has to happen, even though they both, like, each other's love was never in question. You know, like, this wasn't about infidelity. This wasn't about, you know, like, one person screwing over the other. It was just an act that was so far out of left field. And selfish at the same time that Tom was just screaming to figure out, where is this coming from? Why are you doing this? And so many times, you know, like that's one person is just screaming at the other for understanding.
Yes. And that was Tom.
It was not like, oh, I don't love you anymore. I don't want to be with you anymore. It's why would you do this? Yeah. I know you love me and I know you love our unborn child, but why would you do this? And you need to have those moments. And it was so utterly real and just like great Star Trek. It's told through a sci-fi lens, but it gives us a real moment.
Totally. And in B'Elanna's defense, she was coming from a position of love as well for her child. Mm-hmm. But it's from Tom's perspective, before he understood where she was coming from, it was really blowing his mind, I think.
Right.
Like, why in the world would you go to these lengths to do this? What is wrong with you?
Right.
Yeah. And I think every relationship has these kind of moments too. Maybe not this extreme and certainly not through a sci-fi lens. But these things do happen. Some things do come out of left field like, oh my gosh, I didn't know this about you. How did I not know this about you? Or something of mm-hmm. that nature. You know what I mean?
Or things you had no idea to what extent this affects the other person. Like, you knew something about their past, but you had no idea that they were so damaged by it until it manifests it in other ways.
Yeah. Good point. Right. And then any good, solid relationship will work through those issues and work, you know, overcome them together. That's what Tom and B'Elanna did. Mm-hmm. And it's so great. Okay. Well, since that's a duplicate, I believe this is your last pick now.
No, it's your last pick.
It is? I'm done. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I can't keep track anymore. All right. Well, I don't know if this is a happy moment or not. I want to think it is. And I want to close us off with The Wedding and Course Oblivion.
Okay. I was wondering if you were going to bring that up because I didn't choose this one because it wasn't really them.
Well, my comment and my notes here is, sure, it wasn't our real crew, but the wedding that we did see gave us a taste of what happened when the real Tom and B'Elanna did get married.
Right.
So for that reason, I'm counting it.
Okay.
Because it's, I don't know, how do I want to put this? Maybe like, if we have to envision how the real wedding went, it was probably a lot like this. Harry's playing his clarinet and Neelix is throwing rice. I see it all happening. It was probably very similar.
Because they were perfect duplicates and they had duplicate memories, you know, if mm-hmm. these characters led these lives, like if our real characters had these events happen to them, that's exactly what their wedding would have looked like. And so I think you can say that like this is an approximation of what would happen, of what it would look like. Although I was always really disappointed that B'Elanna did not don some sort of Klingon dress like Chad Pia.
You really wanted to see her in that, huh? Yeah, I don't know. The formal Starfleet uniforms, they're okay. But it would have also been nice to see the leisure attire, too. I always appreciate that.
Yeah, especially because it's your wedding, you know? Like, this is... I don't know. I just... Because it felt like there was no pomp and circumstance whatsoever. And I know that's not B'Elanna at all. Like, B'Elanna just does not care about that stuff whatsoever. Yeah. So I think it was very accurate. I think it was very appropriate for those characters. But at the same time, I would have expected Tom to kind of be the quote-unquote stereotypical bride of the situation and say, like, no. Like, we're going to be on the holodeck. It's going to be cool and it's going to be awesome. Because, like, why would you... When you have the holodeck, why on earth would you have the ceremony in the mess hall when you could have it in any location with any weather and any vista on the holodeck?
Yeah, I kind of wonder why they wouldn't have gone for that, because I'm thinking about Tom and B'Elanna, and as committed as they are to their jobs, it's not like they're career Starfleet officers. It's not like they wanted a full, you know, top-notch dress uniform wedding because of their commitment to Starfleet. Not necessarily. Even though they are, that's not their lives. It's just a part of them. So, in a way, I really wish we might have seen something a little different. But, you know, the apologist in me is already thinking, well, that was the duplicates doing what they thought was right. Maybe the real Tom and B'Elanna, she wore a really nice dress. He wore, kind of a 1990s suit or something that was really groovy. Who knows what they did? Because we never really
got to see. Who knows?
But anyway, I'm still counting it just because we got to see a wedding, a version of the wedding.
Right. And I mean, that's the entire reason why we didn't see the real wedding, is because why would the producers want to show us the same people getting married twice, even though they were just duplicates? You know, like, so I get it from a production standpoint. I get it.
Yeah, it would have been overkill. So I get it, too. So this, we'll have to take what we can get. It's good. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Tom and B'Elanna aren't the only things that we're talking about here on Trek FM this week. And so here's a little glimpse at what else is happening on the network.
Previously on Trek.fm, Standard Orbit.
It wasn't so much, you know, some down and dirty action, you know, and stuff. It's more like Spock is in heaven and it's all good until he comes back, you know, that kind of stuff. I think that's pretty, though. I think those are the lyrics.
Earl Grey.
We divide the ship into one of two ways. Port goes to port. I better not see any starboard guys on the starboard phaser target practice. You guys know which side of the ship you're on.
The orb.
Also, the original title of this episode was A Matter of Breeding, which when we talk about things feeling TNG-ish, that could have been a Riker episode.
The Ready Room.
It's about people and feelings and emotions. It's about philosophy. It's about the future. It's about hope. It's about glory. It's about intellectual promise. That's what Axanar is about. It is not a story about pew, pew, pew. I promise you that.
To the journey! I can just hear the Earl Grey people screaming, measure of a man, measure of a man.
And you know what I would say to that? Death wish, death wish.
Warp 5.
I remember watching Broken Bow when Enterprise first debuted when I was in high school. I remember revisiting it now in full, and I had forgotten the fact that Future Guy had actually played an integral role from the get-go with Silic and the Suliban, which we'll talk about later in the show.
Commentary, Trek Stars.
I think part of it, you know, which is probably good, is that he's probably not familiar with what happened, you know, in season one of Next Gen, aside from hearing stories here and there. So he's just like, whatever, I'm just going to get the story.
The 602 Club.
I think he's very much recreating that THX feel. And you may disagree with it. You may not think it's, you know, it's great, but it's on purpose. He wants that world to be that way.
Let me just say, conceptually, I agree with that. In terms of execution, that's where I think he failed.
Literary Treks.
It's amazing to me, as I reread these stories, how much of it I just kind of think of as Deep Space Nine these days, even though it wasn't part of Deep Space Nine, you know, the actual series.
Axanar, the official podcast.
It is the spirit of TOS that matters, that's being captured, but it doesn't necessarily have to be the aesthetic. The aesthetic was 1966 to 1969 that had its moment, it had its time, and there's a certain amount of charm still to that. But it doesn't allow you to push the narrative forward because that type of aesthetic holds creativity back, in my opinion.
Women at Warp.
My absolute favorite thing about this episode is that this is a love potion only if it's between a man and a woman. They make it explicitly clear that if you touch two men or two women, they just become really good friends.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
So check out all of our shows. We are available on just about every single platform where you can get your podcast. You can just go to our website, too, and stream and download from there if you wish. It's however you want to do that. Not unfortunately. But the best way is still, to this day and always has been, iTunes. If you hit the subscribe button, that helps us. If you write us a review, that helps us. If you give us a star rating, that helps us. That helps other people find the show. And if you haven't written us a review, you know what to do. Help us out. We'll acknowledge you on the show. And we thank you for all of that. Another way you can help us out is by considering becoming a patron on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/trekfm and consider becoming a monthly subscriber to the network. We have great perks in it for you. And we want to thank our associate producers of TTJ. Those lovely people are Kenneth Tripp, Jamie Deuce, and Aaron Harvey. You can follow Aaron on Twitter at GeekFilter. Now, I know you're probably a little bit sad that we've covered this one, just as sad as I was with Janeway and Chakotay at the end of that show. We've got to go on to next week, though, and what is our focus going to be?
Well, we've been getting a lot of emails recently of people telling us what they like about the show, what some of their favorite topics have been, and a lot of people, specifically recently, have been talking about our episode rewrites. People really like the ideas, they like our execution, and Char, you and I are extremely flattered with the compliments that we've been getting for our rewrites.
Always.
And so we thought we'd give you guys another one. We're going to do one from Season 6, Episode 18, Ashes to Ashes, and this is how it's described. A long-presumed dead crewmate returns to Voyager, pursued by the aliens who revived her.
You're going to have to wait until next week to find out. So until then, this has been To the Journey.
To the Journey!